Okay, now look, I know that I meant to be talking to you this morning about evaluation, and you were obviously primed and excited by that. But I actually want to talk to you this morning about a new initiative that we're looking to launch in September that I think will be even more helpful, believe it or not, than my talk on how well you're doing. I actually want to talk to you about church planter coaching. Now, this is something that we've been trying to implement within Commission for a few years now. The need for coaching first came to our attention, I think, following Ed Stetzer's report into church planting in Australia, not least because that is a situation that's not dissimilar to our own, particularly in urban centres like Melbourne or Sydney. And Ed's report, which I think was Lifeway, reported that the existence of what they described as support systems or support structures made a disproportionate impact on the future outcome of a plant. In other words, they looked at what is it that, why do church plants fail or why do church plants work? And one of the massive findings was support systems, by which they meant, when you dig into it, coaching. We then, as a network, needed to understand just what coaching is and how it operates. You know, and you inevitably start with a fair amount of suspicion, a kind of, really, is this the silver bullet? But we're hugely grateful for the input of people like Reach Global and Geneva Push for their training days and conversations I've had with people who've helped me to get up to speed on that kind of stuff. We then, as a network, tried to sort of accomplish culture change and overcome, or in fact, bypass ingrained ministry patterns, misunderstanding, and skepticism. And I think we've recruited the early adopters. Now, they now have sat through training sessions from me. We had our first one-hour webinar yesterday on a particular topic, and their sort of peer coaching practice sessions start next month. And so what that means is that in God's kindness, during COVID, we are about to implement coaching across the network. We've got a trained cohort of coaches. They are primed. They are ready to go. Now, that, of course, is brilliant news if you're part of the Commission Network of Churches. If you're not, it's still really good news, and we'll have a conversation about that in due course. But at this point, I want to say to you guys who are not part of our network, don't worry, don't step away from this. Keep engaged with this, and let's have a conversation when we get to the end. Let me say, first of all, let me go down. Coaching, what is it? Look, I think in essence, coaching is an intentional conversation with a focused discussion on your relational, your personal, your missional, or your spiritual life. You know, relationships in the broadest sense, your personal life and the stuff going on with you. Missional is really about what you're trying to get done. And your spiritual life, obviously, is your relationship with God. Now, I think it's important for you that you have someone in your corner, someone on your side, helping you to think through the issues that you're facing without solving them for you. So I like to think of coaching as deep, slow leadership development, to which, having heard the stuff on 2 Timothy, I want to add, for the sake and the benefit of others, not your own reputation and competency. Okay. Now, it has been suggested that there are six critical or desirable roles in the life of a church planter. Let me show you a diagram. There you go. So this is the kind of the ideal ecosystem for a church planter. You've got personal development below, you've got skill and professional development above. Just on personal development, you've got the kind of the mentor, you've got the counselor, you've got the encourager. I like to think of as that's someone who's a mate, really. So mentor, someone who's done it all before, they're absolutely brilliant. They spot some potential in you, they select you, they pour into you, and hopefully you step into their shoes. The counselor, it's the image, isn't it, of lie down on the couch, tell me your issues, and let me show you yourself and put you back together again. This is a caricature, clearly. And the encourager is just someone who just, you know, you just They just help you keep going. Okay. In addition to that, you've got the trainer. It's someone who's in kind of information dump. Here's what you need to know. You know, bang, bang, bang. Go deal with that. There you go. The supervisor is someone who is kind of above you. If there's a hierarchical sort of arrangement, they are providing structure and accountability. You, in some sense, answer to them. It's line manager kind of stuff. The coach is what's left. They come alongside you. They draw stuff out of you with this intentional conversation in which they are primarily asking you questions and you're revealing things and looking at the stuff, whether it's relational, personal, missional, or spiritual. Okay, that's the kind of the way things work. I like to think of coaching existing can be quite simply explained using three pictures. Fundamentally, coaching is about the coach being nosy and just asking you a load of questions, drawing what is in you out of you so that they can understand it and you can see it for yourself. So it's being inquisitive, asking questions. So that's just interesting. You said that. Why did you say that? Why did you put it in that way? Okay, you mentioned you haven't done that. What's the reason why you haven't done that? What's the thing that's standing in your way? If you were to do it, what would you need to do in order to do it? And it's intense, but they are being nosy about the situation that you need to, that you're wanting to deal with. And they are kind of, they keep asking those what, where, how, when, why questions until you both feel, we've hit gold. Now we're at the nub of it. Okay, the second picture is the flip chart. So essentially, I think the point of asking all those questions is you draw answers out of people and you capture them on a flip chart so that the coachee, you, can see what you've talked about. And you can see, you know, it's like the situation is laid bare on the flip chart and you look at it and you go, okay, yeah, that is the situation, actually. That is what's going on. That is reality. Now, of course, it doesn't have to be a literal flip chart. It should be, shouldn't it? I mean, critical piece of equipment, I would say, in church planting. But then, and the third thing is the plunger. So the plunger. Now, look, I'm a man with a daughter. I'm a father with a daughter with long hair. I am well acquainted with this particular bathroom appliance. And I have to say, I find it strangely enjoyable when periodically I need to unblock the shower. And, you know, you apply this thing, put it up, this clump of what happens to be ginger hair comes out and the water just drains away. And you're thinking, get in. If I accomplish nothing else today, I've unblocked the sink. And it's strangely enjoyable. I think coaches do that. I think they unblock your system. They ask a whole load of questions, they capture it on the sheet, and they just help you think, what is the way through this? What needs to be done in this relational, personal, missional, or spiritual situation? Okay, so that's the kind of, you know, what we're trying to do. Now, why do we need it? Because there's a danger, isn't there? We can think we're solving a problem that doesn't exist. But I don't think that's the case. I think the problem exists. I think you guys are living in it. And I think I want to try and describe to you what I think you're facing and why you need coaching. So I think fundamentally the issue that you will face is that you will have to overcome obstacles and sometimes the decision-making paralysis that can come with that. So this is an opportunity for you to think through the situations you face with someone else. Because I think there's this thing I call the five eyes of church planting. And they are, first of all, the church planter journey that you are on is just one of constant innovation. You are starting with a blank sheet of paper and you have to invent everything from scratch. There are no systems in place, no structures in place, no processes in place. That is wearying. Secondly, the church planter experience is one of just encountering issues, because you know every new system encounters issues. It's not a smooth running machine. It will be one day, but it's not initially, and that is wearying, tiresome, frustrating, requires analysis. That's it. The next thing, the church planter situation is one of isolation. You're on your own. Some of you might have elders, but lots of you won't. Lots of you will be appointing your own elders. And in one sense, they won't be peers. They'll be younger than you. And so you'll still feel isolated. You'll feel leadership is lonely. Church planting leadership is even more lonely. And you will feel, I'm on my own here. I need somebody else in my corner. The church planter profile, in all honesty, most of you are inexperienced. I mean, in 15 years' time, you'll have 15 years more experience. And you'll look back at the decisions you're making now and think, God was very kind. So why not have someone who with whom you can go through some of the things that you're encountering for the first time? And in one sense, build up or sort of mitigate your inexperience by having questions asked of you to examine the decisions you might instinctively make that might not be the ones you would make with 15 years worth of experience. And then finally, the church planter predicament. I think this is the kind of indecision paralysis. It's the kind of, I've got so much on my plate. I don't know what to do. So guess what? I'm not going to do anything. And hopefully the problem will go away. And usually the problem just gets worse. Okay, so that's the situation. You, of course, will need to remember that your coach is a coach. And therefore, he's not the other five things on that diagram. He's not a mentor. So he's not grooming you to take over his job, pouring into you all that he knows so that you've got his knowledge and everything he's learned over years. He's not doing that. He's not your supervisor. So you're not, he's not your boss. You're not accountable to him. He is not writing reports for me, telling me about how you're doing. Now, that is brilliant news because it means you can trust him completely. You can tell him stuff and he is under no obligation to let me know and I won't be asking. Okay. He's not your accountability partner either, though. So he's not going to be asking you those hard questions about whether your struggle is with pornography or, you know, money or power or what, you know, those are the three usually, aren't they? He's not, that doesn't mean you can't go near them because those might be personal issues. They might be a spiritual issue. But he's not there every week to basically say, okay, show me your Covenant Eyes account. Richard made a throwaway comment at Church Planter Training a few weeks ago where he said, you need to build trust to share honesty. Where you need to share honestly. I agree with that. You need to build trust to share honestly. And I don't think you and your coach will have or should have the kind of relationship where 2 months in, you are spilling the beans on the entirety of your life and they're asking all the hard questions. You need that in your life, just like you need a line manager probably, and you need a mentor if you can find one. But your coach isn't that. He's not your counselor. He's not your own personal Andrew Nichols or Paul Tripp. He is not going to deal with all the personal care issues that are sort of streaming out of your heart. You might find it helpful to have someone like that or to read lots of books and subscribe to the Journal for Biblical Counseling, but he's not that and he's not your mate. In other words, the two of you are not developing a new friendship with which results in you walking along the Thames or having evenings together in the pub. There is something of the work aspect about this, okay? But he is your coach. He's in your corner. He's on your side. He is unquestionably for you and he is a resource that allows you to do your job better and to develop as a leader, as a Christian man, and so on. Okay, I've said what coaching isn't. Okay, I won't do that. Just very quickly, there'll be a shape to the coaching conversation. It'll look something like this. You don't need to know too much about this. Think of two upturned funnels. You will identify a goal. What do I want out of this? You know, we've got 60 to 90 minutes. What's a win? I need to know how to handle my sassy teenage daughter, for argument's sake. That could be the issue. Exploration is, okay, just tell me about that. When does she do it? Why does she do it? How does she do it? What do others say about that? Okay, what are your options going forward? Well, let's think about what are some of the things you could do? What should you do? What do you think? decision. Okay, that's a lot there. Which one are you going to go for? I don't know. Let's go for that one. Brilliant. Okay. What are you going to do to make that happen? I'm going to do this. By the end of the session, there's a clear plan going forwards. Guess what? The following month when you meet up, how'd it go? It's a win. I've no longer got a sassy 17-year-old daughter. Or, yeah, I completely failed to put any of that into practice. She shouted at me. She left she left the house and I ended up driving around trying to find her. None of which is true for me. You'll be pleased to hear. Okay, so that's that. There'll be a shape to what's going on. I'll give you an opportunity for questions in a minute. Now, how will it operate within commission? Each of you will be offered the opportunity to have a church planter coach. The arrangement will begin formally in September, but there's an opportunity prior to that to get to know each other a little bit better. Actually, so I wonder whether I've got, here you go. This is a diagram that we've put together. So if you think you're the planter, so already we're behind schedule, but in April, you will have something called a job. You will read the job description and there'll be a contract. In other words, you guys say, okay, yeah. Okay, that's helpful. That's what I'm getting. Oh, okay, yeah, I agree to that. That's what they're going to give me. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. May, June, well, we would have been at Revive. And that would have been an obvious opportunity for them to meet you and your family, you to meet them and their family. And just if you don't know each other well, just to get to know each other a little bit more informally. We are suggesting in July, you have a kind of 90 minute chat. I mean, I allow 90 minutes, 60 to 90 minutes. And I would encourage people to do that in person, possibly in a pub by the Thames, where it's just relaxed opportunity to get to know each other a little bit better. Following that, from September, it's essentially 90-minute Zoom calls once a month. Now, it can be in person, but it doesn't have to be. The great thing about Zoom is you can schedule it, diarize it really quickly. There's no travel involved. He can be taking notes. You can be taking notes as you talk about it. And we're all much more comfortable with this thing now. So, you know, that's I think that's entirely legitimate to do that. And you guys can make that decision. I think it's sometimes hard to talk about stuff in a public place. And sometimes a bit weird to go to a church building and just be the two of you. So why not do it in the comfort of your room and his room? Now, we'll allocate you a coach, but you will have the power of veto. We've got a 6-month break point. If either of you decides that it's not working, it might even be sooner than that. But we would expect it to work for a year. And if it is, then to extend into a second year. I think it's worth saying you are both going to be learning on the job. So you will be discovering what it's like and they will be discovering what it's like as you go. I've got them doing peer coaching already. I've told them they're allowed to have their car crashes in the privacy of the Sainsbury's car park. So that's what they're doing at the moment. And they're getting better at it and they're learning not to give advice. They're learning not to solve problems. They're learning to ask questions so that you can strike gold. I have got a 10-minute film from Sam Stevenson, which I won't put on just yet, but I'll provide you with an opportunity to ask questions. Over to you.
How do you see this kind of running alongside this group?
So I think this group is offering you the top left-hand corner of this diagram. Hang on. We'll get there. There we go. So I think this is training. This is fundamentally information download, isn't it? And you and I both know the reason that you can't get everything done that you want to get done is not because you don't know what you should do. In other words, the problems in the Christian life, the obstacles we encounter in leadership are not purely knowledge deficiency. Sometimes they are. I don't know what to do because I just don't know. I don't know enough sometimes. But oftentimes it's more complex than that. So the training is as good as you as is as good insofar as it goes. In other words, it's fundamentally, okay, guys, here's some wisdom and some knowledge. What coaching does is, I think, has a bias towards implementation. So, for example, we could have a really good session, couldn't we, where we get Trevor Archer in to come and talk about raising up elders. And everyone goes, that was brilliant. It's the best session I've ever heard on elders. I know what I'm looking for. I know what I should do. I know, you know, and so on. Right. 6 months in, I just happened to say to you, Rob, elders, what's the elder situation? Yeah, we haven't got any. Okay. Have you ever had any? No. What are your plans? Well, the coach could, you know, you could say after Trevor's session, I want to talk about implementing an eldership. And that becomes the subject of your 60 to 90 minute talk, where the two of you thrash through, what do I want to do? How do I do it? What's the way forward? And at the end of it, you, as the plant, have got a clear strategy, a plan. They then, a month later, would say, what's happened? Now, what you could say is, well, this is in place, that's in place. I haven't done that, but I haven't done that. Now, one of the things about the coach is they'll begin to spot over time patterns. And so they will keep a record just for themselves of whether they're dealing with RP, M or S issues and what they are. So, I mean, I may show you actually, I can give you a link perhaps to Mike Reith's. So Mike Reith coached Sam Stevenson. And as you would imagine, Rob, as you would know, Mike kept notes. So in Mike's video, Mike essentially talks about every issue that he could talk about on film that they worked through in the course of their year-long relationship. And he's able to say, hang on a second, there's an issue here because that keeps coming up, or we're never talking about that. So it's bespoke to you in a way that training isn't. Training is me holding up or Andy holding up a hose and spraying everyone. Whereas this is kind of bespoke. Does that help?
I don't know if this is a question or a thought really. It sounds really wise that you're giving them the advice to not be constantly advising or directing too much, but continue asking questions and help us to sort of see the patterns and stuff. That does sound great. I was wondering though, potentially there's a difference between them sort of taking the monkey off our backs and helping us think it through and them not ever offering any advice. I was wondering if actually some element of advice and direction might be quite useful within that.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's interesting. Matt and I had a session a while ago, and it was interesting. The pair of us observed that there is potential for role confusion. So in one sense, I'm in the position where I can come around to you guys and I can be opinionated and tell you what I think you should do. And I can be right or wrong and you can do whatever you want with that. But in one sense, some of you want it because you want someone to come in and say, look, what should I do? Tell me what I should do. Now, I think that fixes a problem in the short term. I don't think it fixes it in the long term. And actually, you'll get good at what you practice. And if you practice deferring big decision making to others, you'll get really good at it. And actually, it won't help you grow and develop as a leader. And so, look, I think in my training of our coaches, I have tried to exaggerate the hard edges that exist between training, coaching, mentoring. I've tried to exaggerate those, and they all feel slightly uncomfortable with it. Not least one or two of them really do like offering advice. But the truth is, in reality, it may be a bit softer edged. But don't think this guy is your kind of Google answer to whatever ministry problem you're encountering. Having said that, I think, for example, if the obvious problem was, in chatting to Matt, if it is apparent to me that Matt, for example, if it's really obvious what the problem is and he's just not getting it, I can ask my questions in such a way that we get there. And so inevitably the coach brings their experience to bear. Now, I think that the big thing to point out is there are some people in our network who would be brilliant mentors or trainers of church planters. There are way more people who could be coaches, because most of the coaches don't think they're any good at church planting. And most of them don't think they're brilliant leaders either. And I'm okay with that. That's fine. I think humble coaches make brilliant coaches. So the danger with a supervisor or a mentor is, you know, I mean, I learn something from every meeting I have with Richard. I learn something new, either in the way in which he does something or the insight he brings. It's every time. But it's somewhat debilitating, because you just think, honestly, the solution to Bridge Church Peckham is to appoint Richard Cokin as the senior pastor. But unfortunately, he's already got one job. And in fact, he's got two jobs. Actually, no, you are what your church plant needs, and you need to fan into flame the gift that you have been given. And this is, I think, is a way of trying to help you do that. Now, at this point, can I give the non-commissioned boys an opportunity just to ask some questions or make some observations?
Yeah, Richard, thanks, man. That's really helpful. In terms of, you know, me not being part of the co-mission network, are you saying that it would be available from September? And then what does that contract look like? Is it a year? Do we sign a year contract?
Yeah. So at the moment, John, the truth is co-mission only operates in London and has got no plans to do that anywhere else. I think for you and for Jimmy, I think are the only two at the moment, because John's coming in, if not already on the way in. I want to suggest to you guys, find someone who can fulfill this function for you. Now, we can have that conversation, we want to be generous. I think what it isn't is, for you, John, it's not Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
Murray would be a brilliant coach. I have no question about it, but it can't be Murray, because he is that kind of mentor slash supervisor. He's the super, and you can't be the coaching supervisor. You can't be a line manager. Yeah. Because one of the things you might want to talk about in a coaching relationship is your utterly dysfunctional relationship with your line manager. And they're like, hang on a second, which hat do I wear at this point?
Yeah.
But I think the boys in South Africa are going to begin to get their heads around this, because it's come out of Australia, and you know, you guys sit at the knees of and the feet of Andrew Heard, quite rightly, and listen to stuff that he says. So I think it'd be worth you looking for someone and just being straight with Murray about that and where you might be able to do that. But it could well be we might be able to help.
See, I think there's a difference between trying to find someone to informally coach you and somebody who really, that is what they do. They are dedicated to coaching. Yeah. And what you've said makes a lot of sense. Your diagram makes perfect sense to me. And it's actually something that's been on my mind. I didn't quite word it as coach. In my mind, it was someone that is completely disassociated from anything I'm doing now, but can actually see into a situation with clarity and ease, and can actually, just like you say, steer you rather than advise you to make the right choices and the right decisions.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's helpful. But I'm not sure if there is the right person in my network of people anyway. So I'd have to do some digging.
Sure. Yeah. Jimmy, do you want to say anything?
Not loads. I think if I asked a question, it would be about, I don't quite see where the line lands between all of these, particularly in the top roles, particularly the trainer coach. But I have started doing some coaching just a couple of months ago, and it was interesting to hear you describing it, and it made me appreciate what coach is doing. I was feeling a bit frustrated, maybe some of Nick's frustration, but thanks for the encouragement to be doing this, and have just started, and it's a good framework. So is what we're doing here more in the trainer
camp? Yes. Yeah, I think this is kind of information download. We've got a curriculum we've got a sort of 2 year, 3 curriculum of material. We think it'd be really helpful for you guys to cover this kind of, we try to make that delivery interesting, engaging, allows different types of learners to learn differently. But the thing, but it's a, you know, there'll be times when, for example, Pete Snow just checks out because he thinks, I know this stuff. This is a waste of time for me. A coaching session will never be a waste of time for you because you get to decide what you want to talk about. So in other words, it is utterly bespoke. You're in the driving seat, and actually the best coaching sessions will be the ones where you do some prep beforehand and you identify the one issue you want to talk about. So I think it will be exhausting, but it'll be really useful. And it will feel like, you know, someone has applied a plunger to your thinking and the water is flowing away clearly now. At least you know the way forward. Pete, you look like you were going to ask a question earlier.
I was just going to say, where'd you get these guys from, Perks? Because like, you just need a lot of guys willing to throw time at it.
Yeah, which is why it's been slower than we would have wanted, but they're all guys within the network, and they're not the alpha males.
Who would they be? No, don't
ask. Yeah, yeah. Who would they be? Yeah, they're not the coaches. Put it that way. In other words, it's the super busy guys and the alpha guys who can't quite get why you can't do stuff. I mean, they are so frustrating. You know, you guys, some of you guys will struggle with implementation. Some of you will struggle with other stuff. What we want is people who are committed to you, to helping you resolve the problems you find in your relational life, your personal life, your missional life, and your spiritual life. And they've got to be prepared to spend 60 to 90 minutes on an issue that they think they could solve in 5. So if you've ever done a sort of problem-solving session with Richard, we used to do I can't even remember what we called it, but people would travel from around the country to come to these church planting sessions. And I remember, so Nigel used to bring his team down from Nottingham. Mike Kane used to come up from Bristol, and they'd sit down and Mike would say, here's our situation, bang, bang, bang. Richard would ask some questions. Right, Mike, here's what you do. And it's like, okay. And Mike writes it down. In one sense, hugely helpful, but it was a problem solved in about 5 minutes. And I think that is short term. Sometimes it's helpful, but that's not what coaching is trying to do. In one sense, coaching is trying to encourage you to work out, how do I solve this problem? What developing you as someone who's sort of, okay, what do I need to do? How do I need to think about that? And I honestly, it's going to change the way, it'll change the way you deal with your teenage kids when you have them. It'll change the way you talk to your wife. And you know you've struck gold when she says, you're coaching me, aren't you? Because you just ask questions, you know, how do you feel about that? And why is it that you feel like that about it? What is it that's happening? Yeah.
Sounds like a counsellor. Perks, I had a question. With these 6 roles,
yeah.
Should we have people in these 6 roles in our life all the time?
I think ideally, yes. So
I would say I've had a mentor, had a supervisor, but I haven't got those ongoingly.
Yeah, and look, I'd say the same. I haven't got a mentor. I mean, there's just, you know, I mean, no one can teach me anything anymore. I mean, that's the problem. I haven't. I mean, in the early days, it was Richard. Clearly it was, you know, when I was a ministry trainee and young minister. Slightly different now, but I still learn stuff from him. The counsellor, I would rather stick burning pins in my eyes, but I benefit every time I pick up a Paul Tripp book. So in one sense, he fulfills that function, and I can pick up the phone to Andrew Nichols anytime I want. Mates in ministry, that's the encourager. It's mates. You know, we all need those. They're the guys that keep you going. The supervisor, it depends. I mean, is it me? Not really, because I'm not your line manager. I don't employ you. But if you're part of commission, I think there will be from time to time, you will feel my hand in your back, encouraging you to go harder and faster. But I don't want it to feel like that. I want, you know, when I come round to, for my termly visits and buy you lunch and ask those four questions, where are you? Where do you want to be? What's stopping you? What are you going to do about it? Those are my, those are the four questions I will ask as the supervisor, just to kind of find out, you know, what's going on? How are you getting on? But that's not a coaching thing. I'm there a little bit in finding out how you're getting on. It's sort of Ofsted visitor, low-key Ofsted visitation. But also, Andy and I fulfill the role of trainer, and we get in others who can come and provide you with the kind of training that you need. The truth is, it'll take you a bit of a while to get your head around some of this stuff, and that's absolutely fine. But I want to encourage you. I think this, this will help you massively going forward. If you're in any doubt, I'll send you the link to Sam's interview. It's 10 minutes. I'll work out a way of showing that. Or we talked to Pete a bit. So Pete's been coached by Phil Sadell. And, you know, the pair of them, and particularly Phil, has been learning as he's been going. And the trouble with Phil is it's easy for him to wear another hat. And the other hat is the sort of the mentor who knows the Church of England inside out. And so it's just, you know, that's the blurring of the lines, if that makes sense. Okay. Let me pray. Father, we know that many of these roles we won't find identified in the scriptures precisely. And yet we're aware that there are people in Paul's missionary team, perhaps people in church life who fulfilled some of these functions for some of the time in some way. Thank you for the thought that's gone into this. I guess we want help. We want helpful help to help us do what we want to do, which is remain Christian, love our family, serve our church, and establish the kingdom in our community. And we want to do that, and we want that to be our life's work. And we pray that you bring people into our life who can help us do that better, that we might be good stewards of the ability and the opportunity and the capacity that you've entrusted to us. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.